I gave you a little bit of an idea of what we're doing, that we might be talking about superheroes, okay? So some of you are starting to get a little bit agitated, a little bit verbalized and, you know, moving around quite a lot. I'm not sure if it's because you're just eating cheese and you've got indigestion, or if there's something else actually going on. I'm not sure, okay? But maybe you have decided you know who the superhero is who would win above all superheroes. Has anyone would like to represent a superhero today and tell me why they are the best superhero? Anyone? Yes, who would you like to represent? Jesus, please come up here, Jesus. Thank you very much. Round of applause for Jesus. Fantastic. Anyone else? Don't be put off by Jesus. This has been done before on television and Jesus lost. Don't get upset. Superwoman, please come up here, Superwoman. No one wants to cheer Superwoman, that's fine. No, okay, oh, okay, yeah, okay, yeah. Yes? Flash, up here, please, Flash. Yes? Who? Batman, please come up here, Batman. Superman, please come up, Superman. Sorry? Please come up. Please come up. This is good, you got a lot more than I thought. Okay, so the idea, anyone else think that they know the greatest superhero and why? Spider-Man, please come up. It's going to be me, is it? It's going to be me, apparently. So, yes? Wonder Woman? We've got Wonder Woman.
Supergirl.
Wonder Woman's here? That was really rude that you weren't listening. Excuse me a moment, everyone. Shh, this is a moment of seriousness. Quiet! Someone over here wasn't listening to me. Shh. This is Wonder Woman for the other people that didn't listen in the room. I hope that's the last time tonight I need to point that out. Right, okay. Any other superheroes that aren't mentioned? No one dare mention anyone else. Okay. So, the reason you now need to tell me, okay, is why you think you are the greatest superhero, okay? Listen carefully, because there's... Shh! Listen carefully. Jennifer Shefford, please come here. I'm going to pick on Jennifer a little bit because I know Jennifer. Jennifer is the one person in the room who's officially still one of the young people I work with. Come on, Jennifer. Now, on a Sunday evening, we often do something a bit similar to this. And if you mess around at Generation Rising, there's certain punishments that happen. Okay? We don't want that to happen here, do we?
No.
No. So what are you going to do now? Okay. I felt I overstepped it there. Sorry. You actually came up. I'm a bit impressed. Well done. You need to tell me why you are the greatest superhero. And if you listen carefully, I predict, I would think, that every single one of them will have a flaw. Okay? So listen carefully, okay? Who are you and why are you the greatest superhero?
I think I'm Superwoman. I can't remember what I said.
So the superpower is definitely not memory.
And I'm only here because I know your talk needed some more people.
Okay, so would you like to sit down again? Because I've got more people now. Thank you very much. Okay, who are you and why are you the greatest superhero?
I'm Jesus and I'm the greatest superhero because I can do anything.
Ooh. They didn't seem very impressed with that. Sorry, Jesus, don't. Next.
Well, forgive me, but...
Should we forgive him? Go.
The Flash can run so fast he can enter a state of superposition.
Correct. Next.
He's got a cool car and he's cool.
I don't
know. Cool. The reason that he is the best is because he's cool. Well done. Maybe.
He's invincible.
Who are you first?
Superman.
Superman and you are?
Invincible.
Invincible. Okay. I'll try not to stand on you. Hello? Who are you?
Wonder Woman.
And why are you the greatest?
I don't know.
This is going well. I might need you back in a minute, okay? Right, and who are you?
I'm Jean Grey.
Okay, and why are you the greatest?
I have telepathic powers and I control weather.
Don't look at me. Next. Who are you?
Spider-Man.
And Spider-Man, why is Spider-Man the greatest?
Because during battles he can hide like on walls and things.
He can hide on the walls. Okay. So let's do a quick vote. You have one vote and I'm running short of time, so this will be very super quick, okay?
Already.
Aww. I think he knew. Okay, we'll come back. We'll come back to Jesus. He keeps staring at me. Okay, right. Who thinks we're going to win here? Votes, none. Votes, none. Votes, one. Votes, none. One. Votes. Oh, one, two, three, four, five. And over here, the greatest superhero of all time was... Who thinks Jesus? Okay. Some people thought no one. You thought Flash? Okay, who thought Flash? You back down too quickly. No, sit down. Thank you very much, please. You may sit down again. Thank you, you may sit down, Jesus. Thank you. No. So, who is the greatest superhero? Who is the one and only superhero that beats all other superheroes? We have an idea of Jesus being that superhero, okay? But if we came to why Jesus is that superhero, we may have different ideas. And we'll think about that as we go on this evening. For me, as I enjoy watching the Who is the Greatest Superhero played out on film via Hollywood to make lots and lots of money, but it, you know, it's interesting to watch and fun to watch these men pretending they're superheroes, and you know that actually... Sorry? No, not my point. Just wait. My point is, all these men pretending to be superheroes thinking, hey, I'm actually this powerful. Women know they're powerful. Men, they're actually like, yeah, I think I'm powerful. I think that I'm really good. I think I can fly. I think I can hide on walls in battle. I think all these amazing things. And they're playing this part, but that for them, that's just giving them a big ego boost. There are plenty of ladies also playing these parts as well. But as I've said, just that they understand their power, and their power comes from a very different place. And the sooner we all work that out, the sooner the world will be a better place, I'm told to say by people. Are you controlling me again, telepathically? I don't like it when people do that. When we think about superheroes, most of them have got superpowers. And they have different superpowers. And they have different superpowers to help, well, to help the film or the comic or the story work, usually. But they also have different superpowers depending on what situation they've been in and where they've come from. And them superpowers, for most of them, they see it as a good thing. They enjoy having the superpowers. It means that they things go well for them. At times, them superpowers don't work out quite so well. For some superheroes, when they think about the power that they have, that actually that power also becomes a weakness in the midst of being a strength in their life as well. And how you work, how they have to work through that interesting web of confusion depends on where they end up and what goes on. And in the films, no, hang on, is everyone here? Yeah, there's no children in the room. No children in the room. Okay, so none of them are real. Okay, let's just get that out there. Okay, I do know that. I know I'm starting to sound like they are. Okay, so don't worry. I am aware they're not real. Okay, Jesus is real. Don't panic. Okay, none of them are real. Okay, and these superheroes, amazing things are happening, and really powerful things are happening, and they're like, yay, I'm a superhero. I'm really cool, and things are going well. But as they work through that, they then seem to have quite a lot of responsibility. And they're not sure how to play on that responsibility. And sometimes that responsibility gets too much for them and they can't really handle it and it all feels way too much. You may have been asked quite a few times, but if you had a superpower, what would it be? No answers out loud, just think about it to yourself. If you had a superpower, what would it be? And if you had that superpower, and it actually now, here and now, I gave it to you, the reality is that you have to remember that you have that superpower in every situation. So some people like the idea of knowing what people are thinking. That pretty much terrifies me. Right now, standing here, with some of the way that you are looking at me, I am petrified what you're actually thinking. I like to think that you're thinking nice thoughts and your face is just lying to me. But that might not be the truth, okay? But I don't know that because I don't have that superpower, okay? So I feel happy with that. It's better that way round for me. You might think it'd be really good to have a superpower where you can hear cries of help anywhere in the world at any time that people need them. The reality is that most of the time you'll be hearing someone crying for help because there's lots of people in the world that need help most of the time. And their definition of help might mean they don't actually need help, but it makes it feel like they need help. What superpower would it be that you wish that you had that could make a real difference around where you are and what you do? We talked about Jesus today. Now, for those of you who have never been to church before, those of you who have never been to anything about God before, there's a little bit of a confusion within Christianity. If you're a Christian, you pretend it's not confusing, and you pretend it's simple, and you pretend it's all cool, and it doesn't matter. But when we say Jesus, do we mean the person that walked on earth, or do we mean God? When some people say God, do they mean God, or do they mean the Spirit, holy, or do they mean God in all its fullness, as in heaven? And we all get a bit confused between God, Jesus, heaven, no, not heaven, God, Jesus, Trinity, Holy Spirit, and it all just becomes a little bit confusing for us. But tonight, I'm going to say Jesus sometimes, and I'm going to say God sometimes. I'm going to try and say God each time, but I might slip into Jesus, okay? But we're going to think about God. And we're going to think about God's superpower. And what is the most powerful thing that God can do? Again, that might be obvious to you. You might think, well, that's really simple. I know exactly what it is that God can do. It's this. I know what God can do. It's that. And it becomes really, really, really simple to you. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe to you, don't know what it is that God does. Maybe to you, you're thinking, I get very confused about what it is that God, where is this power that God, what is this power that God has, and where does it come from? If you have a Bible, I encourage you to find a book of the Bible hidden away, long way back. It won't be on your phone, it will just be lower down on the list. And if it's alphabetically, it'll probably be towards the top. Because we want to look for 1 John. Not John, not 2 John, not 3 John, but 1 John. Not John 1, but John 1 John. Just to confuse you. We're looking for the book of the Bible called 1 John. Some people don't realize it exists. And 1 John is all about God and us and what God thinks about us. And there's a word that gets repeated over and over and over and over again. That word is love. But we get confused with love because we have one word for love, and within the language of the Bible, originally written in the language of Greek, anyone here a Greek speaker? That's good, I can say whatever I like. In Greek, there's different words for the word love. And we get very confused because we say the word love and we can think lots of different things. We might love to eat apples. Okay, that is not the word love in the context of how Jesus loves us, God, how God loves us. Okay, we might love our family. It's not in the same context as we read in the Bible when it says that God loves us. We might have someone who we love lots. In the Bible, when we read about God's love, the word is, there's people in the room that know because you're itching to tell me, so tell me. Ooh. No one's going to tell me. The word is agape. Everyone say agape. You didn't do very well in RS, did you? Because I just asked and you didn't know the answer. Anyone RS teacher to these people down here? You failed. Agape. Does anyone understand the word agape? Excellent. Right, we have. Let's listen. Let's listen to the answer from the floor. Okay, we have an offering of unconditional love. Anyone want to better that? Anyone want to give me a better definition of the word agape? Yes? Your boyfriend? No. What did you say? Okay, anyone else got a better definition of the word agape? We have unconditional love. Anyone? Anyone understand what unconditional love means? Think about that for a moment. Let me read to you a few verses. If you found the book of 1 John, you need to find chapter 4. So we're now on 1 John 4. And we'll do some reading from verse 7. This is a guy called John. John was, in his own words, the disciple who God loved the most. little bit big-headed, if you may ask myself. But this is the disciple that God loved, Jesus loved the most. When he was on earth, this is the disciple. And John really got this love stuff, okay? And he's writing to a group of Christians, a group of people who are trying to work out what it means to be a God follower. Some of you will be on that journey. Some of you are trying to work out what it means to follow God. You've been to church maybe. Maybe you've made some sort of commitment. Maybe there's some sort of time where you said, God, it's all for you. And as you live your life, you are trying to understand. You're trying to work out, I'm a God follower. How on earth do I make sense of it? And too many people, when they say, I'm a God follower, I'm a Christian, this is what I want to do, they think they need to know everything there and then and everything else. The rest of it is just about doing it in the right way. Actually, it's about learning each step of the way, trying to understand God, trying to work out who he is, how does it work in the world. John says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he is in God. And so we know and we rely on the love God has for us. Lots of us will know that. Lots of us will understand the principle of God coming in the form of Jesus to earth about 2,000 years ago. And when he arrived, he was born in a miraculous way, and he lived his life up to the age of 30. We don't know lots about what happened. We just haven't got lots of detail. We've got tiny little bits. And at the age of 30, God, in the form of Jesus, goes, right, now this is what it's all about. Now we start the mission. Now it starts to kick off. But the problem was, he acted like no hero should have acted. No one expected Jesus to do it the way that he did it. Jesus messed with people's heads over and over and over again because he didn't do what everyone expected him to do. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. They were just confused by him. The Jews at that time, Jesus was born as a Jew. The Jews at that time are waiting for the Romans to go. The Romans are there. They're occupying the land. It's all going a bit wrong. The Jews know that God is going to sort it out. They've got that. They know that. It's in the Old Testament. It's there. They are holding on to it. They're waiting for their version of Iron Man to turn up and to just turn the Romans to dust, sort it all out, and return the land of Israel back to a God-fearing country, doing the stuff that Jews did. And what they get is this guy who wears sandals, walks around in some sort of dressing gown, and just lives out in the desert with a few followers who aren't really that with it, not the greatest of the great. And the Jews are going, this is not our Saviour. Partly because they were stupid, partly because they were very inward looking and they thought that that was all about themselves, but mainly because God was messing with their heads. Not on purpose, not to have a laugh, not because God was trying to trick them, but God was saying, guys, there's a different way. Guys, there's a different way. You might be in a situation in your school, you might be in a situation in your family house, home. You might be in a situation with your friends. You might feel like you just need your version of Iron Man to swoop in and to fix everything that's going on because it's complete and utter mess. Might feel like there's an occupying power that can't get rid of. Might feel like it's all too much. And you've decided you know how you want God to act. You've worked it out in your head. You know that God needs to do A plus B plus C and it will all work out okay. You've worked out how the superhero is going to come and make everything okay. And God might be saying, but there's something different. There's something different that's about to happen. And if you're not careful, you're going to miss it. If you're not careful, you're going to miss what happens. Lots of us will know that Jesus came. He lived 30 at the age of 30, he goes out and starts talking to people. 3 years he spends talking to people. He does some amazing miracles. Complete and utter things that are supernatural. There is no explanation for them. They are things that cannot be understood. Lots of superheroes that we see now have superpower, but not lots of them have supernatural power. Just weird genetics going on. Jesus does this stuff which is not able to be explained. There is no way of understanding it. These miracles happen over and over again. Jesus is speaking in ways that just confuse people. And then after 3 years, he goes and there he is. The famous, the infamous picture in our minds of Jesus on the cross, breathing his last breath and dying. And when a story becomes too familiar, we forget what it's about. We forget what's going on. We sort of lose track of it. But God, supernatural, all-powerful God, in heaven, holy, not able to have anything bad in his presence, looks at us human beings and goes, I want you to be part of my gang. But you just are such idiots. You won't ever get it. You can't ever live a pure and holy life. You've messed up. There's rubbish in your life. So I know you hate me. You detest me. You don't like me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a way already for you to be able to make your way to heaven. Imagine for a moment you have an island. My island, we made a Haribo. It would be a very nice island, and there's lots of different ways that Haribo would work in my island. I haven't got time now to tell you, okay? If you want to stay afterwards, I may pray for you, or we can talk about the Haribo island, I don't mind which. Next to you, a mile down the road, not down the road, but across the sea, because you're on an island, there's another island, okay? It's the island of... What should we have today? Sorry? Starburst. No, Starburst is with me. I'm not giving them Starburst. It's the island of fruit pastels. Now, I know that the island of fruit pastels does not like me. I know that the island of fruit pastels is so at war with me that they have whole teams of people working out how to bring me down. But I also know that I want, if they want to be friends, I want that to be possible. So I start to build a road towards the fruit pastel island, away from my Haribo island. I know that the potential is that they will hate me forever and they will never ever want to cross it, and I could just be wasting all my time. What I'm doing could just be something which isn't needed. But it's worth it. On the off chance that someone actually wants to cross over. God comes to earth. Jesus comes to earth. He comes, he dies on a cross. He takes the place of us in death, conquers death, removes the power of it, and makes the way, builds a bridge across to us, that if we want to, we can walk across it and say, God, I want to be your friend, I want to live for you, and I want this heaven stuff. God does that before we've even thought about him. God does it while we're still enemies. See, unconditional love starts to mess with your brain. You may be different to me, I shouldn't declare that on you. Perhaps you get it, lovely and brilliant. But with me, it just messes with my brain. Try spending one day loving people unconditionally. It's really hard. Because Because the analogy which I saw many years ago, which really helped, is if I'm loving someone, usually I do it as an arrow, but it's an arrow that sort of loops back to myself. Because there's a reason that I do it. I love people if. I love people because. I love people when. I love people if they're nice to me. I love people because it'll be worth it for me. I love people when they deserve it. I find it very hard to love people in a straight line arrow with nothing expected in return. Unconditional love. God's love for you here and now has nothing to do with anything you've done today, anything you've looked at the internet ever, has nothing to do with the things that you've thought, has nothing to do with how much you value yourself or how much you don't value yourself, has nothing to do with how well you sung the worship songs, if you interrupted others or not, how you are helping other people get closer to God, has nothing to do with if you have listened to anything I've said today or not, has nothing to do with how much you know the Bible. God's love for you is total and complete and 100% all of the time, because God loves us unconditionally. You can't mess with that. You can't change that. God's love for you is unconditional. If you want to know what I think God's superpower is, it's the fact that he loves every single human being unconditionally. Because for me, I find that really, really hard. I find that incredibly hard. The closest I get is I like some people mostly unconditionally. But to actually love people unconditionally is like, how? One of the things with God, one of the things that sets him apart, if we're thinking about God as a superhero, is that most superheroes like to work alone. Most superheroes like to do it on their own. If they want others to join in, they may let some other superheroes join in. The Transformers, who you perhaps haven't thought of yet as a superhero, they allow, you know, they get together with the humans, they sort of do some stuff together. It seems to work a bit better. If you've seen The Incredibles, you will know that Mr. Incredible is very, very much does not want to work with other people. He wants to do it alone. Any points for anyone who remembers the name of the superhero that wants to help Mr. Incredible? No, Elastigirl, he marries. Maybe when he's a kid. We've got the answer already. Incrediboy. You are right as well. Incrediboy. Incrediboy goes up to Mr. Incredible and says, hey, I'll work with you. Mr. Incredible's like, presses the button and he gets thrown out of the car. Incrediboy thinks he wants to work with Mr. Incredible. Mr. Incredible's like, I don't work with anyone else. Now God, you see, messes with that again. He just likes messing, I think. Because the reality is, he wants each one of us. Each one of us to be using some of that superpower of unconditional love in all the situations that we face each and every day. You see, you make the difference in the places that you are. Your expression of God's unconditional love makes the difference. You living the way that God's called you to, loving people for no reason, with nothing expected in return, not when they deserve it, starts to change the world that you're part of. And starts to help people realize what Christianity is about. Because most of the young people that I spend time talking to have no idea what Christianity is about. Most young people, some will have some understanding of it might be about church. They might have some understanding of the Bible. They might understand something about that you're never ever allowed to have sex ever. That's not true, but that's what young people tell me. I point out I have three children. They get confused. It all gets a bit messy, so we don't talk about it too much. But it's like what is it that the world thinks about Christianity and what I think about Christianity and what's different? Because I want people to know that Christianity is about a God who unconditionally loves us and wants us not to stay on our little fruit pastel island, but to make it across to the Haribo island. You won't find that in the Bible. Some of you look confused. Don't panic. God wants us to express to other people that his love for them is unconditional and that he is desperate for them to be part of his family. People don't think they have a right to go to heaven. People think they're too bad. People think it's not for them. People think, well, I've never been to church. My family have never been to church. If you knew what I did, if you knew the places I've been, if you knew the thoughts I have, it's not for me. And God says, I will put off over and over again coming again to earth because I am desperate that everyone will make it into heaven. God's heart is that every single person that you know, the ones that you like and definitely the ones you don't like, God's heart is that every single one of them has the right to know him and experience unconditional love. Is it easy? No, it's not. Do they deserve it? Nope. Do we deserve it? I know that I'm grateful for it. Sometimes groups of Christians can find themselves in quite a situation where they get to know each other really well, really close community. They support each other, they're there for each other, they are really understand what it means to worship God, love God, they've really got hold of it, but sometimes they end up becoming too proud. And they think to themselves that they've got this Christianity lark, but it's not for anyone else. It's not for other people. It's all for me. They're not good enough. If you knew what they did, if you knew what they say, if you know the bad sins that they had done, you would understand, Daniel, that these people cannot be Christians. What an absolute load of crap. What a load of absolute rubbish. Because we have done the same things. We also mess up. We are very desperate for God's unconditional love each and every day. Because God says, I love you unconditionally. There are lots of superheroes that you might know, probably not personally. Lots of superheroes that perhaps you have thought of. There's lots of superheroes who are really important in our world in the way that it functions. No, there's not. You all just sat there nodding at me. No, there's not. There's not many superheroes. They're fake, remember? Get to get back to it, all right? And for me, God is my hero for lots of reasons. But for me, the thing about God is that unconditional love that he has for us. Absolute and utter ability to love us totally. God loves you in an unconditional way. God wants us to show other people that unconditional love. Maybe for a number of us in the room today, we need to allow God to show us his unconditional love. Because we spend way too much time trying to convince ourselves why we don't deserve it, why it's not there. We spend far too much time drastically trying to text everyone else, message everyone else, check everyone else is okay, trying to fix everything else rather than allowing God to minister directly into our lives and tell us that he loves us unconditionally. Doesn't matter what we've done, doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter what we look like, doesn't matter how we feel about ourselves. Can ask Nick to come and continue to lead us in worship. And during this first song, feel free to stand, feel free to join in. Feel free to put your phones away. No one's going to die in the next 5 minutes. And if they do, you can't do anything to help them. It will make no difference. And let's just spend a minute thinking about what it means to know that God loves you unconditionally, to know that God loves you totally and completely. Don't worry about anyone else in the room. Listen to God.